ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवा. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 8, Verse 12 and 13. Seems so strange sitting here in a building giving classes all a tree. I guess you switch it around just for me, huh? Sitting here under a tree. I used to try and speak something about Srila Prabhupada's purports of Srivatam. Nasadu vado muniko pabarjita nripendra putra iti sattva damani katam tamo rosas rosamayam bibhavyate jagat pavitratma rajo bhuva. It is sometimes argued that the sons of King Sagara were burned to ashes by the fire emanating from the eyes of Kapil Muni. This statement, however, is not approved by great learned persons. For Kapila Muni's body is completely in the mode of goodness, and therefore cannot manifest the mode of ignorance in the form of anger. Just as the pure sky cannot be polluted by the dust of the earth. So we should understand clearly that it was their offense to a pure devotee like Kapiladev that by their offense their own bodies burned up. Kapil Muni is not approved by the greatly learned persons. What does it say? Sadhu Vada. Na sadhu vada. It is not the opinion of the sadhus. Prabhupada always said, Mahajano Jaina Katha Sapanta. We have to follow the authorities. It's like we were sitting in Prabhupada's garden in Los Angeles one time, and some people came, or Kanandar was there speaking, that some people had come to him today, that there was some 16-year-old avatar, we won't mention names, who was coming to L.A. and they wanted us to come chant since we're the greatest devotees of their. So Prabhupada was arguing, the who says he's avatar? Who has told him he's avatar? Our Krishna is described in all the Vedic literatures as avatar. Not just avatar, avatari. Who has described this fellow as avatar? So we have to follow the words of the sadhus, the greatly learned persons. So the fire that burnt them emanated from their own bodies. That was discussed yesterday. It is not accepted that Kapil Muni burned them to ashes, because he was completely in the mode of goodness. So anger here is described as mode of tamagun. So next text, number 13. Yes ye rita sankhyamai drideha nor yaya mumukshus tarate dratyayam Bhavarnavam Mrityupatam Vipaschita Paratma Bhutasya katam pritan mati. Yasyerita Sankhya Mahidrid Dehanor. Yaya Mumukshu Tarate Durat Yayam. Bhavarnavam Rityupatam Bipaschittaha. Paratma Bhutasya Katam Pritam Mati. This drum doesn't actually fit. Does anybody have an idea what is the meter of this?
No, I'm not good at meter. That's why they don't have
the same. Let's see. Let's try something else.
There's a word missing out there.
Huh?
Last word.
Mati?
Yes.
Katam Pritam Mati. Mati is, the last word is Mati. Anyway, we'll go on with this. Yes, Yerita Sankhya Mahidri Dehanor. Yaya Mumukshu Tarate Durat Yayam. Bhavarnavam Rityupatam Bipaschittaha. Paratma Bhutasya Katam Pritam Mati. Translation: Kapila Muni enunciated in this material world the Sankhya philosophy, which is a strong boat with which to cross over the ocean of nescience. Indeed, a person eager to cross the ocean of the material world may take shelter of this philosophy. In such a greatly learned person, situated on the elevated platform of transcendence, how can there be any distinction between enemy and friend? Translation, please repeat. Kapil Muni enunciated in this material world the Sankhya philosophy, which is a strong boat with which to cross over the ocean of nescience. Indeed, a person eager to cross over the ocean of material world takes shelter of this philosophy. In such a great learned person, seated on a elevated platform of transcendence, how can there be any distinction between enemy and friend? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who is promoted to the transcendental position, Brahmabhuta, is always jubilant, prasanna atma. He is unaffected by the false distinctions between good and bad in this material world. Therefore, such an exalted person is sama sarveshu bhuteshu. That is to say, he is equal toward everyone. Not distinguishing between friend and enemy, because he is on the absolute platform free from material contamination. He is called Paratma Bhuta or Brahma Bhuta. Kapil Muni therefore was not at all angry at the sons of Sagar Maharaj. Rather, they were burnt to ashes by the heat of their own bodies. Hmm. Yes, yerita sanke mai dideyanor yaya mumukshu starate duratyayam bhavarnamam rityupatam vipastita paratma bhutasya katam pratamati. Kapila Muni enunciated in this mature world the Sankhya philosophy, which is a strong boat with which to cross over the material, over the ocean of nescience. To cross the ocean of material world may take shelter of this philosophy. In such a great learned person situated in the elevated platform of transcendence, how can there be any distinction between enemy and friend? Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Svapadandigam Aradanas Trinandantai Vridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padambujo Dulisyam Janma Janmini. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So verse number 12 explains that some people say that it was the sons of Marasagar were burned up by the anger of Lord Kapiladev. Eyes. It is Nasad. Because Kapila Muni was situated in transcendence, so there's no question. Anger means the mode of ignorance, tamagun. Tamagun and rajagun. So there's no question that Kapila Dev situated completely in transcendence and affected by these modes. Just like we know Lord Shiva, he's voluntarily accepted. Jiva Goswami explains very clearly in Tattva Sandarbhas, Satsandarbhas. It is not that Lord Shiva is affected by the mode of ignorance, but he is voluntarily by the mode of ignorance. When Shiva tried to shoot his arrows, immediately anger. Coming in touch with tamagun. Because there's no question in Kapila Muni of any touch of tamagun, so satna sadhuvada is not accepted the sadhus. And to further give evidence, to describe the Kapila Muni's philosophy, the Sankhya philosophy, which analyzes the material world, all the different elements of the material world, this. Just like Krishna has given very short description in Bhagavad Gita, Bhumirapa Nalo Bayo, this earth, air, fire, water, and ether. These are the eight gross ingredients of the material world. Then there's mind, intelligence, subtle ingredients. Kapila Muni goes even more detailed. And that philosophy here is described. No means boat. Just if you go down to the Jamuna and you can take a boat. Go boating on the Jamuna. So his philosophy is a strong boat by which we can cross over this material ocean of material. Therefore, how could such a, since this is a philosophy to take the process for the material ocean, how could he, the author of such philosophy, be affected that he sees that these sons are trying to kill me, they're my enemies? One who's totally absorbed in transcendence, he sees everyone as servant of the Supreme Personality Goddess. No question. This one is my friend, this one is my enemy. All of us are eternally servants of Sri Krishna, and just covered over by different layers of material existence. So again, it's giving evidence that it's not possible, that this philosophy is so strong that it is the boat that will take us, this Bhavarnavam, this ocean of birth and death. This is the boat that will cross us over. Many times this example is given within the scriptures, and 10th canto also describes that the lotus feet of the Lord are the boat that can cross us across this ocean of material existence. And it says there that all the great sages in the past, they have taken shelter of this boat and they crossed over the ocean of material existence. So then Jiva Goswami, he says, then the question may come that in the past all the sages took that boat across the ocean, then what will happen to us? We're stuck here on the other side. The boat, all in the past, all the great devotees, they have taken the boat across to the other side. And we're stuck here on this side. But Jiva Goswami cites another verse that it describes that just by approaching the boat of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, the whole ocean of material existence becomes just like a puddle of water in a calf's footprint. Don't worry, he's telling. Boat is still there. You just go close to that boat, then you cross over the hole. It's just like a puddle in a calf's footprint. We can't even imagine how small a calf's. We know cows got quite big, but this even smaller calf's footprint. So that boat is still sitting on this side. Don't worry. And Jiva Goswami describes further, what is that boat? Sampradaya. That boat of Krishna's lotus feet, although Krishna's gone to the, apparently left this material world, that boat is still here in the form of Sampradaya. Daya, generally we know, means mercy or compassion, daya. But in Sanskrit, daya also means inheritance. And there's one verse in Lord Brahma's prayers in 10th canto. What is that? Tateinu kampa susumikshamana bunjana vivamakate vipakam ridvagvabhubir vidayam namaste jiveta jo mukti pade sadaya bak. There he uses it in that sense, that one who patiently goes on prosecuting his devotional service, accepting the results of his past misdeeds, they're coming, vipakam, they're the mature results, they're coming, but he's just tolerating. But patiently, he's waiting for Krishna's mercy. Jiveta, who lives his life like that, Jiveta, so mukti pade, not the mukti, but the place where even mukti gets mukti. Mukti pade, that place. Sadaya bak, he becomes the inheritor of the kingdom of God. And there Jiva Goswami explains, what does a son have to do to inherit the property of his father? He asks this rhetorical question. Stay alive? If he somehow or other stays alive, father will die, he'll inherit all the property of his father. Automatically. So same way, somehow or other, we have to stay alive in Krishna consciousness by coming and getting enlivened in Kartik, associating with all the wonderful Vaishnavas who come here to perform Damodar Vrat, keeping association with the Vaishnavas, studying Prabhupada's books, chanting our rounds, doing all that. Somehow or other, you just stay alive in Krishna consciousness. Mukti pade sadaya bhak. You will inherit the kingdom of God. So, in Sanskrit, we like to add things. Just like kirtan is there, that's fine. But we add sankirtan, everybody together, all together chanting. So daya is fine, but here we put sam. And another one, pra. Pra also is another increasing. Sampradaya. That our acharyas, they have kept a great, they have gathered a huge wealth of knowledge and devotion. They have gathered it all together, made it, put it all together. This huge wealth is there. And just by becoming part of that sampradaya, you inherit all of this wealth and devotion. So the boat is still here in the form of sampradaya. I'm wondering what's going on here, because in my copy of the database, it shows a link when it talks about here that he is called Paramah Bhuta or Brahma Bhuta. Somehow there's a link to another verse in fourth canto. So I based my class on that also. So somehow it's not here in this book, but in database it's there. There's a link describing the position of Kapiladev being. It links to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text Number 20. Navira dridyate yajgyo brahmaita brahmavadibi namuyanti nasochanti navrisyante yatogata. This also reminds us immediately of one of our favorite verses in Bhagavad Gita. Nasochani nakanchati, namuyanti nasochanti, same thing. Brahmabhuta prasannatma nasochati nakanchati. So always engaging in the activities of devotional service, devotees feel ever increasingly fresh and new in their activities. The all-knower, the supersoul within the heart of the devotee, makes everything fresh. This is known as the Brahman position by the advocates of the Absolute Truth. In such a liberated state, Brahmabhuta, one is never bewildered. Nor does one lament or become unnecessarily jubilant. This is due to the Brahmabhuta situation. This is Narad Muni speaking to the Prachetas. Purport: a devotee is inspired by the Supersoul within the heart to advance in devotional service in a variety of ways. The devotee does not feel hackneyed or stereotyped, nor does he feel that he is in a stagnant position. In the material world, if one engages in chanting a material name, he will feel tired after chanting a few times. Many times Prabhupada pointed this point out, that you can chant Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, you'll become tired. But we're chanting Hare Krishna, just like it's so wonderful here in Krishna Balaram Mandir, all day long this kirtan is going on. And I can remember when I first joined Krishna Balaram Mandir, because it wasn't going on at night, but I was just remembering this morning, after reading this, how in the old days we used to have a speaker on top of the dome where the bell is, and all day long is the Hare Krishna dune, Prabhupada chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All day long it was... This transcendental vibration was pervading the atmosphere. Of course, eventually they stopped speakers doing like that. But anyway, when I first... And it felt like every atom of the temple atmosphere was pervaded with Srila Prabhupada. It was just so amazing. Anyway, now we have this 24-hour kirtan, the kirtan going in here. And day and night, day and night, day and night, the whole atmosphere pervaded. And we see they're chanting 24 hours a day. Nobody's getting tired. We saw Srila Prabhupada for more than 80 years he was chanting Hare Krishna. Not that he became tired, he became old and hackneyed, stereotyped. I can remember sitting in L.A. One time I joined in Boulder, Colorado, and Prabhupada was coming to San Francisco for Rath Yatra, but he was first going to stop in Los Angeles. So we drove all the way out from Boulder, Colorado to L.A., and that was the first day that they played the Govinda prayers for Darshanarti. I don't even remember what we did before Govinda prayers. Does anyone remember? I have no idea. It's been going on since 1970, so I don't know what we did before, but anyway, that was first day. So that was the old Los Angeles temple room. Prabhupada had a door in the back, and Prabhupada came in very regally through that door up to the Gornitai altar, paid his obeisances. Then there was a column with Charnamrit. He took Charnamrit. Then he paid obeisances. At that time we didn't have the big Rukmini Dwarkadish. We had Rukmini Dwarkanath, the little deities. So those days we just called them Radha Krishna. They were small deities like this. Then he paid obeisances to Jagannath, and he sat down on the Vyasasan, and he was singing along with the tape. Govindam Hari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Govindam Hari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. And suddenly we noticed streams of tears coming down Prabhupada's eyes. And we wanted to peel up the tiles of the floor and crawl underneath, because we were such mlechas. We're still such mlechas. How was it? What was our adhikar? What was our qualification to be in the presence of the pure devotee when he's manifesting symptoms of transalexia? We wanted to peel up the tiles and crawl underneath. The Prabhupada was just tears. He was just chanting along. The same words we hear every day. Every day we're hearing. But it never becomes hackneyed. In fact, we saw Prabhupada after chanting for 80 years. He was crying by chanting the holy name. We're praying for that day. Kabhi Habi Bolo said, when that day will come. Our heart is just like stone. But Prabhupada was crying by chanting. He never gets stereotyped or hackneyed. And then it was so sweet. The music stopped. Prabhupada went like this. And then into the microphone. I can't do it. It was very loud. He sniffed. And then that particular year, Prabhupada was teaching us Isopanishad mantras. He just immediately took himself back from transcendental ecstasy, ecstatic symptoms, and he started chanting. He was just like, here we have the talk about boat. The Prabhupada was chanting, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishate. Prabhupada's voice was so deep. He gave the idea like he was a sea captain, and he was rocking back and forth, Isha vasham idam sarvam yat kincha jagatam jagat tena taktena bunjitaha magridaha kazisvidanam. It just felt like Prabhupada was the captain of the ship that was taking across this ocean of Kali. We're talking about boats here. He was the captain of the boat. He was there rocking back and forth. This so deep, beautiful voice chanting these mantras. So just somehow I was reminded of that. So it never becomes... However, one can chant the Hare Krishna mantra all day and night and never feel tired. As chanting is increased, it will come out new and fresh. Srila Rupa Goswami said that if he could somehow get millions of ears and tongues, then he could relish the bliss of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. You know this verse? This was in, it's either Lalita Madhava or Vidagdha Madhava, I can't remember, but when Mahaprabhu, when Rupa Goswami was writing these things, he was staying at Siddha Bakul in Puri, along with Haridas Thakur. Because he, due to having touch of the Muslim king, Nawab Hussain Shah, he also never entered into the Puri temple. So those of you who are white like me, we don't have to feel bad that we can't enter the Puri temple, although that day may come. We're in good company. Rupa Goswami, Thakur Haridas, Sanatana Goswami, they also never entered. So we're not in bad company. We're in good company. So Rupa Goswami was staying there, was in Siddha Bakul, and he was writing, he started writing this Vidagdha Madhava. Of course, it was later finished in here in Braj, in Terkadam. This Lalita Madhava and Vidagdha Madhava were completed in Terkadam. So one day, just to relish the writings of Srila Rupa Goswami, Mahaprabhu Ramananda Roy, because Ramananda Roy is very expert at relishing rasa. Even though he was considered somehow, I'll never understand the caste system. He was a governor, which means he was a kshatriya, but he was considered a sudra, so I can't figure it out. But anyway, he was considered a sudra, though he was doing the job of a kshatriya. But anyway, he was very expert at relishing rasa. So he brought Mahaprabhu there, brought Ramananda Roy there. Relish the verses that Mahaprabhu was writing. That Rupa Goswami was writing. So Mahaprabhu came there and he said, first, tell that verse by hearing which all the devotees became joyful. And Rupa Goswami, he became a little embarrassed. He said, no, sing, tell that verse. By hearing which all the devotees become joyful. So he spoke, Tunde tandavani ratim bitanute tundavadi labde karna kroda kadambani gatayate karnarbudeva spriham cheta prangani sangani vijayate sarvindriyanam kritim no jane janita kiyad brahmatai krishnete varna dvai. Krishnete varna dvai. Varna means letter. I do not know. Amrit. How much nectar? Krishneti Varna Dvayi. Varna, you can Dvayi, you can understand too. How much nectar in these two syllables? Krishna. Tunde means tongue. When my tongue chants this, then Tundavali, I want to have millions of tongues. Actually, it doesn't say millions, it says I want to have lots of tongues. Tundavali means a number of tongues. Tandavani, when it dances, Tunde Tandavani, Tandav, you know, Lord Shiva, he does his Tandav dance. Tunde on my tongue, Tandavani, when that name dances on my tongue, Tundavani, Ratim Bitanute, Tundavali, I want to have many tongues. Then he says, Karna, we know Karna means ear, right? Just like Krishna Karna Amrita, the nectar for Krishna's ears. Karna Krodha Kadambani Gatayate Karnar Budeva Spriyam. When that holy name enters the whole of my ear, then Arbudeva Spriham, Spriham, I desire to have Arab. We all know Kror, Koti, right? After Koti comes Arab. I want to have billions of ears. He says, I want to have a bunch of tongues, but I want to have billions of ears. There's a secret meaning. We should talk less and listen more. This is a secret meaning. So we should talk less and speak and listen more. I want to have billions of ears. Cheta prangana sangani. Pranga, we're sitting here in the prangan of Krishna Balaramanjaya, the courtyard. Cheta, the heart. Cheta prangana sangani vijayate. When that name dances in the heart, the courtyard of the heart. This is such a nice way to say it. We just say core of the heart, you know, like apple core, you know. In the courtyard of my heart, when the name dances in the courtyard, Sarvindriyanam Kritim, all day long our indriyas, our senses, they're bothering us. See that, taste that, go there, hear this, do that. Bothering, but sarvindriya vijayate. All the senses become conquered when that holy name will dance within the courtyard of our heart. All the indriyas will become conquered. Sarvindriyanam kritim. No jane janita kiyad biramitrai krishneti varnati. I do not know how much nectar there is in these two words. So this is the verse that Prabhupada is referring to. It will become new and fresh. Srila Rupa Goswami said that if we somehow get millions of ears and tongues, then he could relish the spiritual bliss by chanting Hare Krishna mantra. There's really nothing uninspiring for a highly advanced devotee. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he is situated in everyone's heart and he helps the living entity forget and remember. By the grace of the devotee gets inspiration. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvagam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenam amupayantite. This is one of our, all the devotees, is one of their favorite verses, no? This is which chapter? And which verse? 10. 10, 10. It's easy to remember this one. 10, 10. Tesam satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam jena mamupayantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Tesham, to them, satata yuktanam. Satata we know means always. Yuktanam, just like we know the word yoga comes from this. Always engaged. What? Bhajatam priti purvakam. Priti purvakam. With devotion. Who will worship me with devotion. Dadami. If you know Sanskrit, this is first person. I give. We're trying to understand Krishna, but it's impossible. And nobody can understand Krishna. Krishna even says in Bhagavad Gita, no one can know me as I am. So why are we wasting our time? We're getting up for Mangal Arati, at least here in Vrindavan, and or at home at Janmashtami and Gaur Purnima. We're chanting 16 rounds, following regular principles, offering her. Why are we doing all these things? We're reading Prabhupada's books. Krishna says, nobody knows me as I am. Because actually it's impossible. We're limited living beings. And Krishna is infinite. So how the finite being can understand the infinite being? It's impossible. But the very meaning of infinite means there's nothing impossible for him. If the infinite being wants to reveal himself to the finite being, who's there to stop? He's infinite. Nobody can stop. He's infinite. So Krishna says, Dadami, I give the understanding. Krishna inspires us within the heart. That is the point Prabhupada is making here. Dadami, Bhuvi, the intelligence, I give the intelligence. We can't understand Krishna, but if we worship him with love and devotion, he'll give us the understanding. Dadami buddhi. Krishna says by his own dadami, first person. As stated, kushala karmanam, those who are engaged in auspicious activities in devotional service are guided by the supersoul, described in this verse as gya, one who knows everything, past, present, and future. The supersoul gives instructions to the sincere, unalloyed devotee and how he can progress more and more in approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Jiva Goswami in this connection says that the Supersoul, the plenary expansion of the Personality of Godhead, exists in everyone's heart, but in the heart of the devotee, he reveals himself as ever increasingly new. Being inspired by him, the devotee experiences increased transcendental bliss in the execution of his devotional service. He reveals himself ever increasingly new. We know one of Krishna's another names is Navayovana. Nava, almost like English. No, not now. New. He's always, even in the present, he's fresh, always fresh. Navayovana. Just like Brahma Samhita said, Vaitam achutim anadim anantarutam adyam purana purusham. Purana we know means old. Purusham's person. He's the oldest person. Navayovanam cha. He's always fresh. So this Krishna consciousness is always fresh. So we're saying, this is emphasizing the point that our Kapil Muni couldn't have been affected by anger. We know how far away we are from the mark. Every little tiny thing gets us angry. But as we advance in devotional service, it's ever fresh. Just like some people ask me, for 35 years you've been taking devotees around telling the same old stories. They don't get tired. But somehow or other, it's always, for me, it's always fresh. And you're going to the same old places. But for me, it's what I see, as I remember, there was the first person who ever took me around Vrindavan was Gurudas. And he was telling the stories. And he was showing us all these wonderful places and telling these wonderful stories. And it was so inspiring. So I think about those days when I didn't know anything about Vrindavan. And these people are coming for the first time. So I'm seeing again Vrindavan through their eyes. So it's always fresh. Some of you tell the same story every day, even word for word. But it's always fresh. Because Krishna is always fresh like that. So Kapiladev, he's on this Brahmabhuta platform, so there's no question that he became angry or he saw that the sons of Sagara were his enemies. He was completely Brahmabhuta Prasannatma. He was completely on the transcendental platform, absorbed in this theistic Sankhya. There's another Kapila Prabhupada explains who preached the atheist Sankhya. This is a Kapiladev of Srimad Bhagavatam who preached the theistic Sankhya philosophy, which is the boat, strong boat, not just boat, he says strong boat to carry us across this ocean of material existence. So one problem with this chair over here is you can't see the clock, so I don't know what time it is. I'm just speculating that it's
8:58.
So maybe there's some questions or comments. Yes. Where's our mic? Bhakta mic. Oh, there he is.
I was thinking of something that was referenced in the beginning, how people sometimes come up with the incorrect philosophical ideas. And I actually see many people, even people learning from nothing, who come up with philosophical ideas that aren't actually scripturally referenced. And you made a good point that if we're going to know what's in the scripture, it's a good idea to believe what's there. So how can we, in a palatable, austere speech kind of way, let people know that if we want to quote from the scripture, it's a good idea to read this book and actually quote an actual reference?
How can we?
Let them know in a palatable way that if they want to quote a reference, it's better to come up with a real reference than embarrass themselves by circulating something that we don't actually know.
Well, to try to, that takes practice, I guess, because to try and tell somebody who thinks he knows everything that he's wrong, very difficult. But at least we should know for ourselves. Therefore, Prabhupada was always emphasizing that we study these books, study these books.
That's why I say to some people, it's good to notice, but I give them a book and say, this is a good refresher for you.
You're always very clever. I liked that yesterday about the guy at the Gaudiya Math who said your Prabhupada had no authority from the mutt. I wouldn't know. I would have started a fight. So you have better answers. You have better answers to the question than me. You have to be very clever like Shruti, then you can correct someone. Any other questions or comments? Everyone fell asleep in my class. Yes, backside.
In network instructions, I realize that the Yogi is also get tangled up with advanced GPS and really fighting with Ravana, where it's invited together to find Sita Devi. So, there are a couple of people like Yogi can be also be tangled. So, it's a general misconception that Yogi cannot be tangled.
Well, Prabhupada explains that that's for the Mahabhagavat. But in order to preach, he has to come down to the Madhyamadikari platform. So Prabhupada said in Mahabhagavat, he sees, because he sees everyone is serving Krishna. Even those who are doing sinful activities, they're also being controlled by Krishna to do those sinful activities. So he said, but I can't see that. I see the rascal singing. I say, stop this nonsense, you rascal. So he has to descend to the... But that is not an ordinary... We shouldn't think that it's an ordinary anger. Sruti Kirti left already. And he could tell you how many times Prabhupada was angry in the very next moment. He was just as calm as could be. Calm as a cucumber, as we say. So because we're not on that platform, then the pure devotee has to come down to a level just above us to... You stop this, you nonsense rascal. Otherwise, those who are Mahabhagavats, they see everybody is servant of Krishna. So if there's no other questions, and we can fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's given us this ever-fresh process of devotional service and chanting the holy name. Srila Prabhupada ki.